disciple today.
Hallelujah. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Oh, I pray that you are following the Lord, that you have a relationship with Him. And you and I are in a very awesome position because we have 2,000 years of testimonies to help us to be motivated, to be encouraged, to be made excited. Hallelujah. 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 How many stories other than gospel stories do you know from 2,000 years ago? Yeah, that's what I thought. Why? Because the story of Christ is worth telling. It is the only story that brings life to us. It's the only story that enables us to experience new life and to have the fruit of the Spirit of God and the power of God stirring within us. That is why the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. And that's the first thing Satan tries to take from you, is your joy. Because once you have no joy, you don't want to do anything. Once the joy is gone, there's no motivation. There's no reason to persevere or to press forward. Why? Because you've just, you don't have it in you. You've got no life in you. It's been drained. And that is why Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, in such abundance that it never runs out. It just keeps coming. And that is what Jesus does. And he realizes that Satan is trying to rob us of the very thing that keeps us motivated. And that is why Jesus came, so that life can be imparted to us, so that we can accomplish the things that God has for us. And we are talking about the public appearances that you and I make each and every day, the public appearances that we see in the Word of God, the very fact that God requires people to interact with people. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? We've all heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it's hard to do that if all the children are hiding away somewhere. You see, God expects us to interact because we need each other. We need one another. What one family has, another family needs. Hallelujah. Not just material things, but just in the ways of life. When it comes to understanding and interaction, and some families have certain skills and abilities that get passed along from generation to generation, and others have other skills. And when we come together, we're able to share. And we grow, and we become more effective. We become better people. And when we come in the name of the Lord, we come in the power of God. And one of the things that has always impressed me, if you will, about the Spirit of God and the gospel is the fact that it does give us life. It does give us life. It imparts joy to you. It will stir you. It will bring you to a place of liberty and freedom. And that is what we have been talking about all day today. And you and I need to answer the question, am I a disciple? Am I a disciple? Have you ever wondered why God saved you and left you here on the earth? Right? I've heard people say, Lord, just take me now. Lord, just take me now. Why do people say that? You know why? Because they've had enough. They're overwhelmed. It's too much. They've just like, I'm done. You ever hear people say that? I'm done. I'm just done. Right? And that's what happens when the joy is being sucked out of you. The life is being taken away from you. But when you are a disciple, you are a giver of life. Hallelujah. You are a giver of life. And what that means is that You have a well of a resource of life to impart that never runs dry. And this is why Christians are the most excited people on the planet. Hallelujah. They really are. If you know a Christian that's not excited, ask him, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? Because once you become a disciple, joy starts to flood into your life. All of a sudden, you begin to see things that you otherwise would not see, and you can't keep it to yourself. You want to share it with others. So we have these interactions with people. We have conversations. And when we have conversations, the life in us is imparted through us. This is why the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Because as you speak, the Word of God is flowing and stirring within you. And the life of the Spirit is in the Word of God. And as it is spoken, it ignites in the hearts of the hearer. And the Word of God says it will not return void because it has life in it. It's designed to take root and to bring life. And so we have interactions and conversations with people. And these conversations with people are priceless. They are priceless because they're dispelling darkness. We're breathing life into them. Why? Because Satan's job is to rob you of your joy, to take away your motivation. Everything about life in the 21st century is designed to rob you of your motivation for the things of God, for your pursuit of God, to continue your relationship with God. Why is that important to understand? It's important because if you don't, you will be robbed of your joy, of your motivation to represent the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God. And so we have to seize every opportunity to interact with people, no matter where we are, no matter what the situation is. God creates opportunities. He will make a way. And you and I are to impart life in some way. We are to share the spirit of the Word of God into the hearts and minds of those around us. And God says that when He is lifted up, He will begin to draw. And God will bring people to you who need more life. They need the ongoing life, and they become hungry and thirsty. And so often people don't even realize why. They just want to be with you. They just want you there. They just want to experience you. Why? Because you're bringing life to them. And sooner or later, the life-giving Word of God takes root in the hearts of those who God has placed in our life. In Romans 1:9, Paul says, for God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. And Paul is an intercessor. He is someone who is concerned about the souls of people. Not just the souls of people, but their life experience. Their experience in life. And so often we think of Christianity as a religion that is focused on going to heaven. But it is not. It is focused on having life-giving life. That life begins now, today. The day you hear his voice and do not harden your heart, life begins to flow into you and through you, and you are changed. And it just goes on into eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is why you and I must have a public impact. A public impact. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Well, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would use us as your ambassadors. Lord God, you haven't called us to be theologians. You've called us to be people of the covenant, a people who share the testimony and tell the story. You have called us to be a people who are known as the children of God, the people of God. And Lord, you have given us life, not life just for ourselves, but life to share. And Lord, we ask that you would help us and use us and mold us so that we would overcome fear and rise up in the witness of the Spirit of God to be a testimony that proclaims and magnifies the Lord and has public impact. We thank you, O God. Let your word minister to our hearts that life may be imparted to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Public impact is what the gospel is all about. So often I hear people, they talk about Christianity, they talk about religion, and they say, well, it's a personal thing, it's a private thing, it's just between you and God. Nowhere in the Bible is that principle anywhere. Nowhere. It begins with a personal experience. Yes, it is personal in its interactive works as we commune with God, as we talk to God, as we interact with him. But the results of our spending time with God is public. The witness is public. The Israelites came through the promised land. Every nation in the promised land that knew they were coming, they heard the message of the God of the Israelites that was defeating their enemies as they came from Egypt, including the Egyptians, the most powerful nation and army force in the world, was defeated by Moses. And that story is still known today. Why? Because it is a life-giving word. It is a story that breathes life into us. It motivates us. It builds us up. It encourages us. It helps us to trust in the Lord, to know that he is real and that he is God. You and I are called to have a public impact. We are called to impact people that God brings into our life. In Matthew 28:16, we see the charge that Jesus gives. It says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. I always read through this verse so quick, but I want to point out here that notice they're going to where Jesus designated them to go. They didn't just say, hey, where should we go? But they went where the Lord directs them. And you and I, this is something that we have to learn. We have to learn how to do, because we're so used to being independent of God that we don't stop to think about what is the Lord directing us to do? What is he calling us to say? We just figure it out independent of God, and then we ask God to bless it. We want God to bless what we come up with. But that is not the way it works. And this is why so many of us have trouble with trusting God and with seeing results in the ways of the Lord. Because God doesn't just bless things we come up with. God blesses and honors what he says he will do. God honors his own words, his own directives. And that is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. You and I have to become skilled at recognizing the voice of God, at knowing when the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. And the only way that can happen is if you go through the portal of God's word. Yes. And as you meditate on the word of God, the spirit realm opens up to you. Yes. I know this sounds sci-fi-ish, but hey, they had to get that from somewhere. And when you enter into the word of God, a spiritual dimension opens. And you have now opened up a portal from God and heaven and the realm of the spirit to you, directly to you. And when you begin to meditate on the Word of God, God begins to speak to your heart. At first, you're reading, and it's just words on a page, and you're trying to understand it, and you're trying to figure it out. But after a period of time, all of a sudden, you begin to know it. And even as you're reading it, something happens within you that where your understanding is opened. It doesn't happen right away. It happens once you've committed to building and establishing your relationship with God. And as you cultivate that relationship with God, God begins to open you so that you can interact with Him. And your revelation and your knowledge, your understanding begins to increase. And there are some things that you can't really explain to people when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to Christianity. We try to formulate it in words, but it doesn't come out right because the definitions that people are ascribing to the words that we're trying to use aren't always a match. Because they have a deeper dimension, a wider dimension than what we can express. And that is why it's more than just words, it's an experience. And when you come into a relationship with God, you're opened up and you have an experience with God. And that changes you. It changes you. You're no longer the same. You go from being two-dimensional to multi-dimensional. You have depth to you. You've got width, height. You've got length. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's something about it, and no one can argue you about it. They can't take it away because there's something that has taken place in you. You are changed. You are no longer the same. And there is no going back. There's no going back. There's no unteeing. And you and I, we're changed forever. And we are hungry. You ever get hungry? Oh, I get hungry, yeah. We get hungry for the things of God, for the presence of God. I love coming to the house of the Lord. And as the worship is going and as the praise is going, sometimes you just go, ah. Oh. You take it in, and it's all around you, and it's and you want to be in an atmosphere filled with the life-giving life of God. Oh, I remember when I was young, I would go to church, and we would just sit there, and every once in a while, they would come along with a song, and once in a while, it was actually a song that had some life in it. And they sung a lot of songs that the words had a lot of life in them, but the people singing didn't. So they killed it. And so the thing that was designed to bring dimension and breadth and width to the person so that it can impact the public is quenched, and it's oppressed, and it's held down. Because the life is not being transferred from the one who wrote the song to the one who sings it. And that's what worship is all about. It's about a transfer of spirit. That's what media is. The whole idea of media is transference of spirit. It is the spirit of those who are writing and creating the media, the music, the sounds, the images. That spirit is transferred through those who are presenting it, and it's magnified to the public. And then it comes to you, and it comes to me, and we receive it into ourselves, into our homes, into our cars. And wherever we are, the spirit of the one who has originated this comes in, and you receive it, and it changes you into whatever it's designed to make you to feel or to be. And that becomes your experience. And now you're living life based on the sum of your media intake. and your perceptions are based on all of those images, all of those words, all of those thoughts that have come into your mind. And as you make decisions, as you interact with people, all you have to draw on is whatever it was that media has imparted into your life. And that is designed to drain you of the life of the Spirit of God. And that is why we cannot have light and dark, the Word of God says, dwelling within us. You're either all light or you're dark. The Word of God says you're either hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he says, I spew you out of my mouth. I spit you out. I can't drink that. And so you and I are called to be a people who are on fire for the Lord. We are called to experience God. And the Word of God opens the portal between God and men. It is the most powerful force in the universe. The Word of God. And when you receive the Word, when you operate in the Spirit of God, strength is imparted to you. You dispel the darkness, the spirit of oppression and bondage from the world, the spirit of fear, which is at the root of every form of fear, is the or phobia or any type of hindering thing. It's the spirit of fear. And the Word of God says he's not given us that. So when we're operating in the spirit of fear, we're not operating in the Holy Spirit. We're operating in the contrary spirit. The spirit that's designed to render you powerless so that you will not speak the word of God. Testify of what he has done. Be the witness that he's called you to be. Because he knows, Satan knows, if you do, power will rise up in your life. The Spirit of God will rise up in you and you will become strengthened. You will have joy. You will be able to love in any situation or circumstance. You will have peace that just blows the mind of people around you, even yourself. You will be able to overcome obstacles and you'll begin to see things that other people can't see. Why? Because the dimension of the Spirit of God has been opened up to you and now you are able to live in a way that God had originally intended us to live, in the fullness of the awareness of the kingdom of God. Verse 16 of Matthew 28 says, when the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. Now, I find that interesting. You have division in the crowd. You have the doubters and you have the worshipers. And that's always true in every situation. And when you need God to do something powerful in your life, you have to move away from the doubters and surround yourself with the worshipers. Oh, with the people who are able to make the word of God to be one with them so the dimension of the Spirit of God can open up and you can have an experience that is contrary to what the world sees and knows. Even within Christianity, there are some who don't believe. These are the doubtful. Those people who say, oh, the gifts of the Spirit aren't for today. Oh, that was back in Jesus' day. Oh, they didn't do that. They don't do that anyway. It doesn't happen. Those are all people who have not had an experience with God. And when you have not had that type of experience with God, you can't believe. And the reason you can't believe is because you're a doubter. And when you approach the Word of God with doubt, looking to find answers, then God does not reveal things to you. But when you approach the Word of God with an open heart and you say, God, show me. Lord, speak to me. God lead me. God guide me. God begins to do a work within you. He begins to stir your heart. He begins to enable you to see. Doors begin to open that no one can shut. God begins to make a way even when it seems impossible. All of a sudden, you're raised up in the seat of heavenly places before the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of the Lord begins to do a new thing in you. This is what happens when we persevere in God. And Satan does everything he can to introduce doubt into your life. Once doubt comes in, it renders you powerless. It drains you. So we must avoid doubt and doubters. Matthew 28:16-18 says, Jesus came up and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. In heaven and on earth. The authority that Christ has, it transcends realms. It is wherever he is, he has all authority. And that it ought to be an encouragement to you. And something that we need to remember is Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? John chapter 1. That's Christianity 101, right? That's the first book everybody says, read the book of John. And the first chapter you need to thoroughly get grounded in is John chapter 1. And once you understand who Jesus is and what he has come to do, it will change your whole perspective on your relationship with the Word of God. And so you and I, when we receive the Word, that Word activates in our flesh. It comes alive in our flesh. It motivates our flesh. It leads us. It directs us. It breathes life into us. It dispels the weight of darkness. Jesus was helping them to see that he had all authority. And then he gives them this directive in verse 19. He says, go therefore and make disciples. And I know we're all familiar with this verse, but I thought I would throw the Greek in here so you could see the word that's used, metatheo. And it says, and what it means is that you have a mentor or a teacher who helps you walk through your Christian life. That's what a disciple is. It's a picture of what Jesus actually did. He called the 12, and then he didn't just say, all right, meet me on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 9, and we'll have a class. That's not what Jesus did. What Jesus did, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. A true disciple walks with a mentor, with someone who is able to share their lives with you, someone who is able to interact with you. And that is why the church was formed. That is the reason the church exists. Well, one of the many reasons the church exists. It's to be able to provide people who can be discipleship makers, people who are able to help or come alongside people who are wanting to walk with Jesus. This is why the scripture says he gave some pastors and teachers and prophets and all of these different giftings of people so that you and I can be perfected in the way of the Lord. And this is what is missing today. We're missing true disciples, people who are involved in a mentor-teacher relationship. And he said that he will make us disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because you need the fullness of God. That's what that represents. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It represents the fullness of God. The dimension of the Father is the dimension of the Spirit, where God himself, he is Spirit. The Son is the Word. He's the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that you and I hide in our hearts so that we can be strengthened, so that we can be renewed, so that we can have a different perspective on life, so we can walk in the same ways that Jesus modeled. And then we have the Spirit, which gives us power and authority. And this Holy Spirit works in our lives. He works in our lives. He is our advocate. He is our legal advisor. He is the one who guides us. He says, don't say that. He says, don't go there. He says, no, if you go with them, there'll be too much doubt. Go this way. God will direct you. That is what the Holy Spirit's job is. The Holy Spirit is not just the force that makes you go, ooh. Even though he does make you go, ooh. But it's more than that. He makes you go, ooh. So you say, okay, God, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going this way. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us. He's our Paracletus, right, in the Greek. He's our Paracletus. He's our legal advisor, the one who gives us directions. He guides us along the way of life so that when we're by ourselves, when we're alone, when we don't have the one who is discipling us with us, we have the Spirit of the Lord who brings the Word of God to our remembrance. Isn't that what the Scripture says? The Spirit brings the Word of God back to us. And that is why you have to meditate on the Word of God. Get the Word of God in your heart. You say, well, why do I have to meditate? Isn't that the yoga people? No. The yoga people are trying to empty their minds. They're trying to get everything out of their minds. They don't want anything in their minds. God said, I didn't make you an empty head. I gave you a head to fill it. No, you can't get rid of. The reason they're trying to get everything out of their minds is because all the stuff in their minds is evil. It's dark. It's oppressive. It's bringing them down, and they're fighting for freedom. They're fighting for liberty. They're fighting for all the things that nothing can bring them in this world except the Spirit of God and the Word of God. This is what Christ brings into our life. You can sit there, hum. If I do that long enough, I'll come up with a song. Start praising God. After a while, I'll be like, ha, ba, 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 ba. Saints of God, you and I aren't to empty our minds. But the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing the mind means that you flush it out with the Word of God. The Word of God, when you meditate on the Word of God, it wrestles with the thoughts of doubt, of oppression, of the things that are bringing confusion, and all of the things. Have you ever had to really think through something, and it was really overwhelming to have to deal with? Maybe a death of a loved one, or maybe some tragic thing that has happened, or something that you just have to do. And you go through all the different scenarios. Have you ever done that? Well, if this happens, then that will happen. And if they do this, then they do that. And if this goes, and you start trying to like figure, well, what do they mean by that? Well, if they said that, then that word means this. And because they said that, that means this. And because of, and then we start running through all these scenarios. And that brings a spirit of confusion, which rattles you around, and you become oppressed. Then you become upset. Then you become angry. Then you don't trust people. And now you're like, now you got a thing. You got a spirit on you that's kind of not allowing you to be free. So now when you see that person, or when you're in that situation, or if you go to that place, you're feeling a certain way about it. You ever see that, people? Yeah, well, I remember. And we remember things that God cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And God is free, and we're bound. Hallelujah. And the only one hurt is the one doing the processing in their mind. And that is why the Word of God says to renew your mind. Gain control over your mind so that you can bring it into alignment with the Word of God. What does God say about it? What is the Spirit of the Lord saying? What is the Word of God saying? And we meditate on what the Word of God tells us to do. And we pray and we talk to God. The whole reason we talk to God is so we can get directions. Hallelujah. So often I've seen people pray and they're like, Lord, I need this, that, blah, 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 do this for me. Blah, blah, blah. And then they get up, amen, and they walk off. That wasn't a prayer. I'm sorry, that was not a prayer. That was an order for Amazon. That's what that was. But that was not prayer. When we pray, the Spirit of God, the portal of God opens up to us and we begin to commune with God. Something begins to happen. There's a whole dynamic. There's a whole experience that begins to take place. And God begins to breathe upon us. God begins to renew us. All of a sudden, the weights begin to lift off of us and we begin to hear. And the Lord of God says, peace, be still. And God begins to speak to us. He says things like, fear not. Hallelujah. I don't read anywhere in the Word of God where Jesus showed up and said, you crook, you lousy, no good buzzard of a bum, you blah, 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 blah. You are so ridiculous, you're going to burn in hell. Jesus never said that to anybody. He never said, get away from me, I'm mad at you. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that. Go ahead. Nowhere. Nowhere. But I do remember Jesus interacting with the heart of love, because Jesus knows that we're in warfare. There is a spirit that is working against us. And when you are open to the portals of the Spirit of God, God begins to show you the spirits that are at work against you. And then he gives you power and authority to pull them down, to overtake them, to overwhelm them, so that you are risen to the top, so that you are no longer in bondage. You're made free because you understand it. And there's going to be days when you fail. You're going to fall. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to do the wrong thing. But God says, though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. We don't stay down. We don't hold on to the past. We press on to the mark of the high calling, Paul says. And that is why we need a mentor. We need somebody to come alongside us to help us, because we can't do it alone. We need each other. We need the support of one another. We need life being breathed into us. We need people who the Holy Spirit can use to remind us to share the Word of God. And that's not just for Christians. People in the world, they need to hear the message of life, the life of the Spirit of God. Jesus said we should be teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, to the end of time. Hallelujah. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not surprised by who you are. He's not even surprised by the things you did that you said you wouldn't do. He's not surprised by things that happen unexpectedly in the world. He's not surprised by wars. He's not surprised by famines and earthquakes and terrible things that happen around the world. God is not surprised. He said, I knew all of these things. He says, that's why I'm here, to prepare you, to help you to overcome them. That is why Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And so in Matthew 27:57, it says, an evening having come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was discipled to Jesus. Do you see that? Someone discipled this man to Jesus. He led him to Jesus. He became a disciple of Christ. This is what you and I are called to do. This is the role of a disciple. This is the role of a child of God. We help people come into our experience. We help people have a relationship with God. We encourage them. We motivate them. We invite them so that they can taste and see for themselves, because it's so good. I can't explain it to you. I don't know why this food is so good. You just got to taste it. There's things in here I don't know what they are. Some of them I know, but others I don't. But there's something about the combination that is like, wow. Oh, there is a flavor that you just can't deny is good. That is the Word of God. That is the Spirit of God. And so even as Joseph was discipled and needed to be discipled, you and I ought to be discipling. There are people in our lives that God wants us to have an impact upon. People are redeemed for divine use by God. Otherwise, God would have just said, oh, praise God, you're saved. Come on home. You would have just body dropped to the ground. And it's like, wow, people are getting saved left and right. You'd have to be careful where you got saved. Isn't that right? You would have to be careful. You would not want to be getting saved while you were driving. All of a sudden you hear, you're listening to the radio, and all of a sudden you feel conviction in your heart, and you say, Lord, I give my life to you, Lord, have your way. Poof. All the people on the car going all around. Wow, the people getting saved all up and down 87. My Lord, my, what in the world is happening? Planes are crashing. Stuff is happening. Oh, my goodness. People are falling out in ShopRite and Sam's Club. And my goodness, what is going on? I don't know. There's a wave of people. They're giving their lives to Christ. God's just taking them home. Hallelujah. He said, I'm done, Lord. Take me now. No, God says, no, I need you to impact the world. They need to hear. They need to hear the word of the Lord. They need to know, and they need to hear it from someone like them, someone who has been through what they've been through, who's had an experience like they have, who knows the way the world is, who understands things, and that they would even be able to know how you were like them, but now you're changed. And you need to share your story. You need to share your testimony, because you have a purpose. I've called you to be a disciple, to be a fisher of men. And so we're called to seize opportunities to testify, to share, just like Jesus, like Stephen, Peter, and Paul. They were game changers. The game of life. Life is a game. And if you don't know how to play, you will lose in the end. And Jesus says, I have come to help you win. I will guarantee that you will win. All you have to do is endure. Just endure. Just stay faithful. Just hold on. Just hold on. I will bring you through. God is a game changer. He changes your life experience. Old things will pass away. Everything will be made new. In verse 44 of Luke 24, it says, and now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Whoa, wait a minute. These guys were Jews. They were trained in the law of Moses. They knew that all these things about the Moses and the prophets. They understood all these things. Wait a minute, what do you mean he opened their mind? And this is why so many people struggle with the Word of God. Do you ever know people who have said, oh, I tried reading the Bible. I can't get anything out of it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. That's because your mind has to be open to understand the scriptures. And that's what a heart yielded to God will do. And when you come open and honest before the Lord and say, God, just show me, your heart opens and God begins to reveal the scripture to you. Jesus understood and he saw the faithfulness of the disciples. They were authentic. They were genuine. They followed Jesus all the way to the end. And here he is now in this place after at the resurrection time and sees it. And they're still with him. And saints of God, you and I have to have a heart of faithfulness to God. And God will open the word of God to you. And the more your heart is yielded and surrendered to God, the more he will enable you to understand the mysteries of God. Yes. And God will show you how it's designed to work in your life so that you and your family can benefit from the Spirit of God. Amen. God says you will not fail. You will prosper in all of your ways. He will open doors no one can shut. He can do the impossible. It says, in fact, nothing will be impossible for you. I know that's deep and over a lot of people's heads. And they get hung up on a lot of things. But the fact is, nothing is impossible with God. And when you walk with God, anything can happen. He changes the game completely. And we're going from square to square after rolling the dice of life and trying to, you know, go along, and we pick a card and we say, oh, God comes in and he pulls the whole board out and puts in a new board. The whole game has changed. And you're standing there holding a card from the old game. God says, yeah, that doesn't apply here. I changed the game. And that's what Christ does in our lives. He's a game changer. He changes everything. And it says that he says, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending you forth the promises of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power or authority from on high. Hallelujah. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And now he's saying, now I want you to wait until you are clothed with power, so that you have the authority, so that you have the ability to blow things up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you go to war, you need powerful weapons. You can't go with empty words. You need the power of the Word of God. And not just the power of the Word, but you need the Spirit of God to overwhelm your situation. For God to intervene. And the Word enables that to come to pass. And so the Spirit anoints the Word to make disciples. You and I, we need the Spirit of God anointing the Word so that our understanding can be open, so that we can be motivated to bring change and transformation into people's lives. In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. Saints of God, this is the mission that you and I are on. This is what God has charged us to do. This is who we are. Jesus himself, he quoted this in the Gospels when he was there in the midst, right before he was taken for to be crucified. He said this very verse, he quoted it so that they would hear it, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the Word, and the Spirit was anointing him. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Word. The Spirit anointed him. When you abide in the Word, the Spirit is upon you. And then you become anointed to walk like Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can have an experience in Christ that is life-changing. Your whole game will change. Everything about you will be new, will be different. You just show up in the aura of God's presence. You don't even have to say anything. We'll start to impact people, and people will begin to be drawn to you, and you'll begin to talk to them. You may not be talking religious talk. Listen, sometimes it's better not to do a whole lot of religious talking. Sometimes it's better to just listen and only say what is reasonable or right to say. And the Spirit of God will give you what to say. And when you say it, there'll be, because of who you are and who you've been in the presence of, and what you've been feeding on and abiding in, the media that you've been taking in of God, of the Spirit of the Lord, when you begin to speak, the dimensions and the dynamics of God will be in every word you say. And when it comes out of you, it will have life-giving impact. Hallelujah. You can change the game on people. You might think you're talking about something random, but because it's coming from the well of the Spirit of God within you, it will have life in it. And you will bring life to them. They will be drawn to you. And the more you establish a connection with them, they will become your disciple. Hallelujah. They will want to follow you. They will want to be with you. They will want to hear your words just because you make them feel encouraged, just because you make them feel a hope, and you give them, you just lighten things up, and you're able to help them to see that it's not all lost. It's not all dark. There's just something about you that, because you've been in the presence of God, even when you're not saying anything, just because you're there, there is an anointing. There is a move of the Spirit. There is an overflow of God that is washing over people, and their minds are being impacted. Their souls are being impacted, and life is being imparted to them. This is what you and I do. This is what you and I do. And that is why you and I must make disciples. We must be conscious of what it is that is happening around us, of the people in our lives, that we are bringing life. We are bringing the ability to have hope and to be able to overcome opposition. In John 21:15, it says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my lambs, feed my sheep.'" This is what you and I are called to do. Why is Jesus saying that Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times? Jesus and Peter hadn't had a real conversation since then. Jesus didn't walk away, "Oh, yeah, he's that Peter. He's such a phony. He's a fake disciple. Look at him. He wants me to help him bring in fish. But he couldn't remember me when I was being arrested and going to prison." Right? That's what we would have did, right? You would say, I'm not helping him. Yeah, you got nothing. That's right. You got nothing. No fish for you. Yeah, you're Peter and all his friends out there. Right? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus forgave him. He let it go. He says, "Man, let's do better from here. Let's do better from here. Let's move forward from here. Let's give life. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs." He says, "You didn't feed me, but hey, feed them. Feed them." And he gave them another chance. He gave them a new opportunity. And that's what the Spirit of God has come to do. The world comes to bring you down. The world wants to step on you when you're down. When somebody makes a mistake, they want to say, oh, look at that. Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, yeah, you're going around telling everybody about Jesus. Yeah, where's your Jesus now? Yeah, how about a Jesus? And that's the way the world is. And it's easy to recognize people who operate in a wrong spirit because they always focus on the wrong thing. The thing that causes you to have doubt in what God is doing around you and with people and in people's lives. Don't allow Satan to rob you of what God has given you so that you can have power to impart life. And the people of God who are genuinely born of the Spirit of God are going to be life givers. They're going to speak life into other people's lives. They are going to help those who are down will be raised up. This is what we see throughout all of Jesus' ministry. And this is what you and I are called to do if we're disciples of Jesus. Verse 38 of 9 of Mark 9 says, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus is not trying to establish some club that has to be a certain way. But God says, "I will use you when you operate under my authority and the authority of the name of Jesus." If you are able to operate in the Spirit of God, if you are able to have faith in God and in his word, God will cause all things to happen. The scripture was read earlier, and it said that the word of God says that the slave who had one talent had his taken away and given to the one who had 10 talents. The thought that came to my mind, yes, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And it's a mentality. It's a mentality. And when you have a poor man's mentality, you will stay poor. And if you can understand the principles of God and his word, God will open up the windows of heaven, the word of God says, and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. This is what Jesus does. Jesus makes provision for his people. If you are a giver, God keeps giving to you. If you hold on, if you're a cheapskate and you're selfish, then God says, "You're a dam and I need the water to overflow to others, so I can't keep pouring into you because it's just going to sit here and create a pond or a pool of some sort. And I want a river." Hallelujah. When we understand these principles, it changes the game for us. Verse 41 says, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward." And saints of God, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about that. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not half-heartedly, not well here or there, not well on Sundays and Wednesdays and then on Fridays. No, but if you're diligent every day, you have a relationship, you are a disciple, you are following him, you're walking with him, you're listening to the voice of the Spirit. You're saying, "Lord, guide me. Lord, show me. What would you have me to say? What would you have me to do?" And so the charge is to all who follow Jesus. We're all to follow the charge to go into the world and bring the gospel. And so after they had preached the gospel to that city, Acts 14:21 says that they had made many disciples. And they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Oh, saints of God, do you see the power of this? You see, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples. They were encouraging them to continue in the faith. This is what you and I are called to do on our jobs. We're called to do this when we're encountering different people, no matter what our situations and circumstances are, so that even though we go through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's not talking about dying and going to heaven. We're going to go through some troubles and then we're going to enter. No, he's talking about in your walk through life, you're experiencing the kingdom of God. You're entered in, because when you apply biblical principles in your life, you're operating under a different game board. The game has been changed. It's a different dynamic. You're now operating under kingdom principles, and the kingdom principles of the world no longer directly apply to you, because you're operating in the Spirit of God. Because the portal of God has been opened to you, and it's a game changer. And so Romans 1:9 says, for God whom I serve in my spirit. Oh, I pray you serve God in your spirit, in the depths of the core of who you are. The word there for spirit is translated even in the Hebrew. It's considered the idea of your soul. It's the essence of who you are. In the depths of who you are as a person, as a living being, you and I ought to be serving the Lord. We ought to be preaching. We ought to be testifying. This doesn't mean like the guy on the corner, repent or you will burn. It's not that. He's not talking about that. Even though, thank God for those guys. Sometimes you need to hear that. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is that you and I must seize the opportunities to tell people of the goodness of the Lord. Share your story. Share the testimony of what happened. You see the disciples, all they did was go around talking about Jesus is raised. He's still alive. That's literally all they were saying. They were sharing what he said and what he did and all the experiences that they had. That's what you and I ought to be doing. Don't get hung up on the idea of, oh, I got to have all this theology so I can know what I don't want to say. You know, no, that's the spirit of confusion that man tries to bring in, trying to rob you of the essence of having a relationship with God. And sometimes we don't know how to put it in words. Sometimes it doesn't come out right. But the spirit of what we are saying is from God. And we have to understand that. So, says, I serve the Spirit, my preaching. So is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. You and I, we need to disciple others. We need to help people come to Christ. We need to help people see and have an experience in God. And we need to pray for them. We need to intercede for them. We need to look to God and trust in him. Verse 9 in the Amplified Version says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my whole spirit, rendering priestly and spiritual service in preaching the gospel and telling the good news of his son, how incessantly I always mention you when at my prayers. This is the Greek expanded with the meanings of these words to give you a broader perspective of what is being said here. And you and I, we need to be telling, we need to be serving from our whole spirit. Oh, we need to be rendering priestly and spiritual service. Oh, we need to be testifying and preaching and telling the good news of what Christ has done. And we ought to always be intervening for those who God has placed in our life. And finally, he goes on, he says, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. Hallelujah. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And so finally, saints of God, you and I must be able to cultivate faith in one another. We need to build one another's faith, encourage each other. I love what it says in verse 11. It says that I may impart some spiritual gift. You and I, we have something to offer. Don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate what you bring to the table. You are able to impart something to someone else that will help them. You are of great value to the Lord, to the kingdom of God, to the people that are in your life. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourselves an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. The pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all publicly. People will see the changes taking place. He says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Saints of God, I pray that you are able to receive this today. It doesn't matter whether you're in elementary school or junior high school or college, or if you're an adult going to work every day, interacting with random and various people. God says you should be bringing forth the word of God. Don't allow anything to hinder you. Don't allow anyone to hinder you. He says finally in verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. It means persuaded. It means having been persuaded that there is an inbirth, something within you that's motivating you, that's unctioning you, that's moving you, so that you can have faith in God. You can trust in God. So saints of God, have those deep conversations. Let those who are willing to hear receive from you. Allow them to be transformed and changed by the living word that is coming out of your relationship with God, that is coming out of your time of communion with the Spirit of God. God will give you those who are hungry. He will give you those who are thirsty, so that you can breathe life into them, so that you can encourage them, so that you can have a public impact. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand to our feet. Oh, yeah.
Step out of the race and break into the wild, and don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, graces waiting where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
That you have freedom today, and that the Spirit of the Lord has liberated you, has set you free. That no weapon formed against you would be able to prosper, because you are operating in the way of the Lord. And when God is in the way, nothing can pass through Him. And whatever goes by Him is filtered so that you can handle it, you can bear it, you will be able to manage it for yourself because of the Spirit of God who is working within you. God does make a way. He transforms hearts, minds, and lives, and He will enable you to have an impact on the lives of the people around you. And if you're walking with God and you're applying the principles of His Word and you're meditating on Him regularly, you will change people's lives. You are having an impact even more than you realize. Your life means more than you know. And God has already placed people around you who are there for your impact so that you can allow the Spirit of God to work through you to draw them closer to Him so that they can get to know Him for themselves. Well, Lord, I thank You, oh God, for Your Word today. And I ask, Lord, that You would continue to mold us and shape us. Oh God, help us to see. Help us to have ears to hear. And help us to know that the Spirit of God is here and He is with us. And that You have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That we would not only have the life for ourselves, but to impart life to others. That we would be a living witness and a testimony of the kingdom of God. And all these things we thank You, O God, as we proclaim and magnify the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Under the door.